Rockies Auto Service Centers. 16 locations around for 49 years. Get lucky. Take your car to Bucky. Just that's basically just kind of working on. Just get, that's a sort of a first.
The key to a jingle is you do it over and over and over. So remember what you just did and
do it
Monday.
I can't do it. This is 16 locations. Bucky's Auto Service Centers.
Improvised jingles. Not going
to
work.
Still haven't driven the new car because, again, I don't want the odometer to start. I remember driving a car one time and I was waiting for it to flip over to 100,000 miles. I was like, oh, I can't wait. And we're like 2 miles away.
Yeah.
And we're looking and looking. And then
sense
you start talking and then you look down and it's 101. You're like, I missed it. Driving in the All right. Thanks, Bucky's Auto Service Centers, for bringing you the next great hour of nonstop news and entertainment, known as Newsmuir. All right. Legislators passed eviction protection. By the way, this is the most sweeping landlord-tenant legislation in the last 50 years. And they did this, and they wanted
to... Take a bow, Washington.
Yeah. Well, here's what's happened, because you make some changes to it, right? And you write some of these laws that are going to be to protect the tenant a little bit more, which puts the landlord at a little bit of a disadvantage. And then what happens is people do what you inspect or do people do what you expect? Well, people do what you inspect. So you have the when the person is supposed to pay the rent and how much time goes from the time they're supposed to have the rent due to the time that they then get a notice saying you need to get out of the apartment, right?
Yeah, and this is an example, Jen. You're always telling me that I'm too pro-tenant and I'm not considerate enough of the people that have to rent these places. But this is a story that just irritates the heck out of me. And I blame the Rental Housing Association, which is the biggest group representing them. We passed a law in Olympia, the legislature did, that said if you can't evict somebody, you know, within like 3 days, whatever, there's a certain time between 3 and 14 days. That now, with this new law, anybody facing eviction for failing to pay rent, they can request a payment plan, and a judge has got to weigh in considering the circumstances leading up to the eviction proceeding. Now, why do we do this? Because there were more and more cases of people missing with under $100 missing their payment, and so they just said, listen, just back off a bit. Well, the landlords fought against this, obviously. It makes some sense because it kind of cramps their ability to operate a business.
Yeah.
But that was the intent of the legislation. So it sounds like, based on the Crosscut article, so I might get this wrong, but it sounds like they worked with the legislature to come up with the kind of things to sort of protect the landlords by saying, okay, but if you get 3 eviction notices or pay right away notices
Actually,
off the
bat. 4. If you get 4, then you don't get the judge can't step in and help.
Okay,
you.
Right, I thought it was 3, but okay. So if you get 4, then it's like, okay, well, then you're a problem tenant. And so, so immediately what happened is they started sending it out to everybody. So anybody who is renting, and so all these people, they profile all these people that suddenly were getting, hey, we're going to kick you out, we're going to kick you out. And it was just a stunt on their part, but a lot of these people are obviously low-income housing people, and they all had heart attacks. What do you mean? What are you doing? Because if you're 1 day late, well, a lot of them are on Social Security. Social Security usually comes on the 3rd day of the month, not the 1st day of the month. And by the 2nd day of the month, they all got these notices. And the idea is, they said, no, we don't really mean it. We're just doing this as a political stunt, in effect, to protect us. And so they keep getting these notices because that doesn't allow them to ever qualify for the legislative protections that were passed in Olympia.
Well,
that just seems
really
cheap.
Right. And I talked to a friend of mine and I said, I got the inside. He is the guy that does all the lobbying for landlords. And
I explained to him, does he work with the Rental Housing Association?
No.
Oh, he doesn't. Okay.
But he explained to me, he goes, first of all, we're going to Olympia and we're going to fix it. What we're going to do is we're going to say if you're getting your money that pays the rent comes from a government check and the federal government releases those checks and you get it on the 3rd, we're going to make adjustments for that so we don't have it. But here's the way the old law used to work. Your rent is due on the 1st. You sign a piece of paper saying, yes, I understand that rent is due on the 1st. When is the rent late? It's late on the 2nd day.
Yeah.
So the old law would no pay, vacate, old law. You had 3 days, right? On
3 days.
You get this thing. He said, what happens is now you get 14 days. He goes, which is actually pretty good because you give it to the person. Then at that point, they can then file for sort of time to be able to say, hey, here's the problem with me. And by getting that that getting into the process earlier, you can then go and receive additional financial support from organizations. Prior to that, the organization would not give you like $100 or $75 or whatever you were short on until you got the pay or vacate. She said, so in effect, in some cases, you get the pay or vacate, you can then take that piece of paper over to the assistants, and then they say, well, how far short are you? I need $100. They give you the $100, they fix the problem, and the landlord gets paid. He goes, here's the other thing that we've noticed. They've taken out of the fee. There used to be a fee that your late fee would be in there. They got rid of the late fee. So now without the late fee, a lot of tenants are waiting till the 15th to pay their rent. He said, this is just a, not with everybody, but we're starting to see more tenants realizing, hey, there's nothing they can do to me. I don't care about the late fee because the late fee can't be imposed upon. You have to take sort of different changes with that. So now you have people that are just in there till the 15th.
Well, the thing is, but then they're vacated. And most of these people that are there have lived there. They talked about this one poor woman. Woman has been there for 18 years and suddenly was told she had to get out in 15 days.
Well, so she never gets out in 15. It takes 3 months to get them out of there, and it costs $3,000 to $5,000 to get somebody out of their apartment.
Okay,
right?
Well, this is her name is Irma Serrano. She's 47. She's given a 20-day notice to vacate the home by October 15th.
Right.
And in Seattle and Tacoma, apparently you can't do this, but outside Seattle, they're unprotected. Now they're talking about, your guy's talking about how they can correct that in this legislature. That's good. They also are thinking that they're going to try to take what happens in Seattle and Tacoma and make that statewide as well. But, yeah, it feels a little slimy to me, but I guess if
the
it's
tenant will take advantage. Don't you think the tenant takes advantage of, you know, I know it's due on the 1st, but you know I'm going to pay you on the 15th. So they slide to the 15th
okay,
on
well,
the
that's,
thing.
In this case, the people they profile. Now, it's
I
true.
Understand.
And both sides can take, you know, the exceptions to the rules. I don't know enough about how all this works, but the idea is that at least the people that profile in the crosscut, one of them, in fact, there were two people at this place, they didn't even miss it, but it was just like slapdash. You just send it to everybody, and then that way we'll cover ourselves in court.
All right. Five things you need to know about when the poll came out that's got Donald Trump so mad. The president is upset because it was at the top of Drudge. It says Fox poll, 51% of Americans want the president impeached and removed from office.
So impeached is one thing. Right. Removed from office, which means the Senate would have to convict him.
Yeah.
That was pretty startling. Now, the fact that it came from Fox shouldn't necessarily surprise us because Fox polling is supposed to operate just like other polls. But the fact that it was on the president's favorite network that was announcing it, and they were the first poll of all the polls out that actually indicated this, he's really hopping mad, and he feels that Fox is no longer, you know, the go-to for that. So why is he mad? Well, it does just the fact that you've got most people in America now. 51% not is barely a majority in polling with a come see or come saw how the error rate is. The fact that it shows that there's moving more and more people with more and more news of this Ukrainian stuff. They seem to be taking it serious. Americans find Trump's actions on Ukraine particularly troubling. That's the second thing. Views of the situation among Republicans are complicated. 13% of Republicans say that they think that Trump should be impeached and removed from office. 13%. Now, my guess is those are the Republicans that were never Trumpers. That would be my guess. I'm not sure that's that significant of it. But the one thing that this article says, 17% said that there was lack of evidence that he did anything wrong in the Ukrainian situation, which they say that shows a weakness. Because in these others, usually they said, no, it's practically come hell or high water.
You want to hear what the president says?
Of this whole poll?
A bunch of it.
Okay, go
for
it.
So he gave a big speech yesterday.
Oh, that speech. Okay.
He's in Minnesota.
Okay. So they know they can't win the 2020 election. So they're pursuing the insane impeachment witch hunt. I've been going through it now.
Oh, they're booing it.
For more time than I've been in office. Democrats are on a crusade to destroy our democracy. That's what's happening.
Yeah. He wants to be president for 16 years.
So is this president?
I think Roosevelt.
You've been here now for, think of it, almost 3 years. Can you believe we're here 3 years? We. And we have to promise them no more than 16 years, okay? No more. 16 more years. I'm only kidding.
How do you do that? Omar's brother?
Omar's legal husband was Omar's brother, and that she had married him for fraudulent purposes. You mean like coming into the United States, maybe? How do you have such a person representing you in Minnesota? I'm very angry at you people right now.
Crowd loves him anyway.
If somebody stays from, let's say, a Middle East country in one of my hotels, and we charge him $392.53 for staying, and I never heard of the guy, and I don't want to hear about him. They say Trump is getting rich off our nation. I lose billions being president. I don't care. It's nice to be rich, I guess.
Forbes had a piece that he has lost money. He turned over his all of his business stuff to his sons, and they have been failing in like three or four various things that they've been trying to do. It was a big, long speech. Okay. He raided the Fox people. He did mention the fact that he doesn't believe that poll, of course, that he's hopping mad about. There's only one thing that's keeping Trump in office, and that's Elizabeth Warren. Because that is the concern. I watched that. What's the guy's name? That Morning Joe. And you get those two people on there, and they said this is what, and they have all the Morning Joe guys.
Yeah.
What we are hearing from Democrats in Washington, D.C. is the only thing that is keeping Donald Trump in the White House is the fear of Elizabeth Warren.
They realize
across the country, people in suburban America, they will not go for Elizabeth Warren.
Well, that was the assumption. We'll have to see if now he is still president. You mean win re-election?
They won't impeach him. They won't kick him out, and he'll stay in there because what's the alternative? They don't have anybody else for
the alternative. Is somebody who looks like she has integrity, and that might be enough. Because I agree, her politics are farther left, but no one thought Trump would have a chance, and that Hillary was a lock once Trump got the nomination. So things could change, but that was the common expectation 6 months ago, at least.
Yeah,
I don't think people thought that she'd come off as strong as she has in the Democratic primaries. If she comes out strong out of the Democratic primaries, I think she might have a shot.
Okay.
The last point I just want to make about the polls and Trump's take, the one thing about Fox News, that poll does not get covered like other stations, like other cable coverage of their own polls. You know, when Wall Street Journal does a poll with NBC really promotes it. Fox doesn't promote it, so that's the one saving grace, is that even though their poll might have irritated the president, they don't promote it like other stations.
When it comes to demographics and understanding the audience, this is the music that they play before Eric Trump got up there. You want to hear a bunch of these cuts? You're simply the
best. Right. About Eric?
Everybody. This is what they played. See, the audience is hanging around. This is just everyone's just waiting around for the next speaker.
Okay.
All right. Beat it, Michael Jackson.
Wow.
Yeah. Frank Sinatra, My Way. I'm just sitting there just... And then... I like... Ooh, a little bit of opera for you, Tom. I don't know.
I've
been holding a note for a long time.
Yeah.
Nobody seems to care about that. The best part is, right before Mike Pence gets up there... Back to Michael Jackson.
Michael Jackson, yeah. Wow.
And then they play right before Mike Pence, they play YMCA by the Village People, which is so weird.
Oh, my God.
And everybody in the crowd go, YMCA? Like, don't you know that's like a gay anthem? And Mike Pence comes out swinging to that thing. It is a weird moment, I'll tell you. But here it is, right here. No, that's it. All right. And then Eric comes out, and he's very excited, and he gets
simply
them all.
The best.
Yeah, he gets all excited.
Okay.
And listen, to go to one of those rallies and to see these people, the biggest news that came out of this was the fact that the cops there said, we want to be able to wear our uniforms. And they said, absolutely not. You can't wear a uniform there. And they go, why not? Why can't we wear our uniform?
Oh, you mean as an attendee, as a security.
Right.
Oh.
And they said, you can't wear it because you're not working and it's going to be confusing to the people that are there. They're going to come up to you and ask you. They said, no, we're proud of the fact that we're police officers and we're proud of the fact that we stand behind and with Donald Trump. So then they said, no, you cannot wear a uniform. So then they all said, well, what we'll do, we'll get T-shirts that say cops for Trump. So they're all wearing these red T-shirts. So that was part of just the only... sort of pre-news hoopla of Donald Trump there. So there you go. You all right?
Swell.
It is kooky. fact that France does this better than all of us, or better than the United States anyway.
Uh-huh.
Well, the difference is this. The mailman now doesn't go to house. He goes to a great big box, and he puts them all in one box, right? The mail person does that, right? In France, I guess they go door-to-door to deliver news.
Well, no, because they're in buildings, too. So the thing is you can go door-to-door. What I didn't realize, so this is really a smart move on the Postal Service in France. A decade ago, they served 18 billion pieces of mail. Now it's down to 10 billion pieces of mail. Mm. So they're offering a service. Now it's a cost.
Oh.
You have to sign up for this. $37 a month, and you get weekly visits by your postal service person of elderly.
Mm-hmm.
And they say this kind of grew out of, remember there was a big scandal in France, I don't know, it was like a decade ago, when it was the hottest summer in the history of Paris or France, and all
people
these elderly died because they just didn't have people checking on them enough. And so now there's a service that the post office, since they already go to your abode anyway, that for $37 a month, they will check. And they don't just sort of say, hi, make sure you're alive. They actually have directions. They go in and have a conversation between, they say, 6 to 15 minutes long. You introduce yourself to the client, talk about a subject that might interest them, what weather we're having, Did you watch TV last night, have you received any visits lately, and then they report back to the family members about how your grandmother or great-grandmother is doing. They profile
the
this.
Postman does this.
The postman does this, or postwoman. And so they say this has really been, it's really great, and it's usually family members. You know, like, John, your mother lives far across the country. If she's having troubles, it would be nice to have somebody check on you. You can't keep flying out to visit your mom. So you could just have the local postal worker check on your mom once a week. That's a way for them to kind of keep touch. And they profile this one woman who her family, they don't even send the reports to her family. She signed up for herself just because she likes to have contact. She's 88 years old and wants to have contact with somebody and sort of, you know, she says, otherwise I'd be going batty here. And they say it's really working well.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the reasons they started off having it be free, so many people wanted it. They ended up saying, hey, we don't enough people to check up. And so they start charging. I think it's a great idea.
I do, too.
Okay.
Normally, it used to be your neighbors would check up on you.
Yes.
But then we don't do that anymore.
Not as much.
We're going to go behind enemy lines. Kenny Rota. I don't think he's ever been on with us before, so he gets a chance to answer the question. They're always stupefied when I hand them the frying pan.
Right?
They either go with it or they don't. We'll find out how Cleveland is getting ready to lose to the Seahawks. And the stuff I've read online, this is going to be big, big win. Russell Wilson, they say, on his way to being an MVP.
Yeah.
And they believe that the defense or the offensive line on Cleveland, which has got a lot of holes, is going to just open up for Clowney. It's going to be a huge win on Sunday. We'll go behind enemy lines. Find out how Cleveland is preparing emotionally, physically, and spiritually for this loss. Here we go. Let's go behind enemy lines. If you're new to the Tom and Curley Show, where the hell have you been? We've been doing this for 4 years now. We call a sports guy in the city that we will be playing, and we get their point of view. And sometimes Tom and I come in sheepish, like we were at the beginning of the season. We were concerned about the Seahawks, right?
That's right, okay. A little bit.
And now, the two of us, full of piss and vinegar. I can't tell the difference between the two. Can you chase this one? Is this the vinegar? And we, Tom, get a chance to talk to a sports legend. Kenny Rota has been doing this now for more than 30-some years. He's award-winning. You see him on Good Morning America, ESPN. This guy has covered it all. The big decision with LeBron James. Kenny Rota, this is sports talk royalty we have on our show today, Tom.
Wow.
Well, I'm kissing up to him for a couple of reasons.
Just means I'm old, guys.
I know. Kenny, I just saw you tweeted out yesterday a picture of you with the classic tube socks pulled all the way up to your ACL with your super-duper skinny legs, and you are getting a signed autograph from Mean Joe Green. I mean, it is like it is like a 1974? What year was that, Kenny?
I want to say 75 or 76. I was in Latrobe. I grew up in Western Pennsylvania. So here's a guy that grew up in Pittsburgh covering Cleveland sports for 30-some years, but my roots are back in Western PA, and we made the trip up to Latrobe. So I'm going to say 75 or 76 in the Steelers' heyday.
Yeah.
Wow. What's it like, just spiritually, what's it like to be a sports broadcaster in Cleveland? Now, I know you did have a couple of LeBron years there, but in general, aren't you like the sad sack of sports towns?
Well, you know what? The Indians are the longest. What is it? They have the longest drought in winning a championship, I think, in all of sports, 1948.
Okay.
And they come so close, 95, 97, and then 2016. They go to Game 7 against the Cubs and come up short. So it seemed like the city was cursed, but LeBron James on his second go-around kind of, delivered what he promised the first time he was here and gave the city at least one championship. I also cover AHL hockey, and I know that's not the NHL level, but they won the championship that same year. And we've got Stipe Miocic, who's the heavyweight champion, in MMA. So it's bad from the Indian standpoint and the Browns 64, but everywhere else it's not too bad.
Yeah. Okay. Are we going to start talking about darts as well? Are we going there, Kenny?
How about checkers? We have a very good checkers program, and I think our eSports scholarships are up across the board throughout Division I colleges now.
Well, that's something.
Let me, before we get into this, because we got nothing to say to you about how bad you guys are. Kenny, you love sports. You've loved sports since you were a little kid. This eSports, is that a sport?
No. I don't get it. I don't understand it. You're playing pretend sports and you're getting paid. Now, God bless the kids who, when we told them that they got to stop playing video games, it'll never get you anywhere. Well, they're making more money than I am right now, playing in professional esports leagues and getting scholarships and all of that. So I don't think it is, but who am I to, judge the millennials for what they've turned a recreation into a business?
Yeah. Okay, so Kenny, listen, the preseason hype for the Cleveland Browns, I think the whole country was behind you. It's been so long since the Cleveland Browns have been anything. In fact, I don't know if they ever were anything. It's been so long.
Come on now. They back in the 50s and 60s, they were the standard.
Jim Brown.
That was then the beginning of the NFL.
That's right. I'm trying to reach our live audience, not the ones from a cemetery. But still, I appreciate the fact that we were all rooting for the Cleveland Browns. There was so much preseason hype. You guys finally had all of your, the peas in the pot. It was all going to work great. And then it's been really disappointing, at least so far. What is wrong? And was the preseason hype off? Or are you guys just taking it's a slower start to what's eventually going to be, great?
I picked the Browns to win the division at 10-6, and I still think they can achieve that because of a weaker second half of the schedule. But at this point, through the first five, they've been a major disappointment. Losses by 28 and 30 points. Mm. Now, they did beat the Ravens, which is most important because you want to win your division to get into the playoffs, and you host a game instead of being a wild card team.
Yeah.
So right now at 2-3, Freddie Kitchens, I think, is overwhelmed. I don't think he realized how much work would go into being a head coach and the offensive coordinator, and this is his first ever head coaching job. I think that's a factor. Baker Mayfield has not played well compared to what he did down the stretch last year. The offensive line stinks right now.
Yeah.
What else is wrong there?
Well, Odell Beckham.
Secondary.
Odell Beckham, Odell one of the best receivers.
There are so many different factors as to why they're 2-3 right now.
Okay.
So you guys play the Seahawks, then you take on the Patriots. That ought to be pretty. And then you play the Broncos, right?
Right.
Okay, so that you say the season getting easier,
the season gets easier
would then be you take on the Bills, you got the Steelers, the Dolphins, Steelers again, Browns, and then Cardinals.
Okay. So, and then what's your take? How good do you think the Seahawks are this year?
Yeah, here we go.
I like what I'm seeing from the Seahawks, and I think the leading MVP candidate in the league is Russell Wilson.
Really?
I've seen two full games. Two full games from the Seahawks this year, and I came away impressed both offensively and defensively, but mostly with the play of Russell Wilson. I forget who he threw a touchdown pass last week in the corner of the end zone where his guy could catch it, nobody else, and you got two toes inbounds in the corner. It was an unbelievable throw on the run, evading the pass rush.
Yeah.
And so to me, he's the reason why you guys are off to the start you're off to, and that's going to pose a huge problem for a Browns defense that has been underwhelming to this point after spending a lot of money on beefing up that front line.
Did they put any pressure on him?
You know what? Myles Garrett is second, I think, in the league in sacks with mm-hmm. seven.
Okay.
He's a guy that if you double team, we're going to find out if Olivier Vernon, if Sheldon Richardson, if Larry Ogunjobi are up to the task, because I think that's what teams are going to try and do, neutralize Miles and see if somebody else can beat them on the defensive side of the ball. They're linebackers. They start a rookie in Mac Wilson. They're not, I wouldn't say they're not solid. They're average at best. I'll say that. The secondary's banged up. We don't know if Greedy Williams and, Denzel Ward are going to be back from hamstring injuries. So they're starting secondaries, all a bunch of backups right now for the most part. So, like I said, offensively, the line is terrible. Defensively, the line hasn't played up to par, and that's where they're getting beat in the trenches when they lose by 28 and 30 points.
It's not going to be pretty, is it, on Sunday?
Well, I want to know how Seattle travels. We always wonder about coming across the country, playing an early game, according to your time.
Mm-hmm.
How will they handle that? How will they handle being on the road? The crowds are going to be going crazy. This is a must-win for the Browns because if you look at it, they lose this and the next game against New England, then you're looking at 2-5, and that second half, even though it's easier, it becomes harder maybe because of the pressure. So they're hoping, I think, to win one of these next two games, get to 3-4 through 7, and then go from there.
I got it. All right, you ready to go? You've never done this with us before, so this will be the first time ever in your life, Kenny, with 31 years of great radio broadcasting. Here we go. You ready? Seahawks, the big bus pulls up there at Cleveland. What's the name of their stadium?
Cleveland Stadium.
First Energy Stadium.
Whatever. Seahawks are getting off the bus. They come off the Natalie Fest, by the way. And you have a frying pan hidden behind your back there, Kenny. And you get a chance to hit one Seahawk over the head with a frying pan. And you get on a horse. I don't know why you have a horse. Off you gallop. You stop to get yourself an adult beverage, which happens to be made in a blender. You enjoy that. And with a semi-conscious Seahawk, you tear his jersey asunder, and you put him in a Cleveland Browns uniform, hoping to regain the glory of the Browns of Jim Brown back in 1962 or something like that. Who do you hit over the head with a frying pan and kidnap from the team?
That's a no-brainer, I said. He's the MVP so far through 5 games. I'm taking Russell Wilson.
Right. Tom, will you let him take Russell Wilson?
Yeah. Even over your superstar, budding, though he may be, Baker Mayfield, huh? That's interesting.
Absolutely. He's still a second-year player. Russell's got a Super Bowl under his belt. He should have, too, if Pete Carroll wasn't stupid like he was at USC and would have just ran the ball. I'm taking Russell Wilson.
All right. Hold on a second. Let me make him another drink and ask him again. All right. How about this? You can't have Russell Wilson. Who else would you take?
Who's the role? Carson, the running back?
Yeah.
Chris Carson.
Okay, good. Frying pan for
maybe him. Chris Carson, if I can. I want Russell Wilson, though.
Okay. All right.
Don't renege on our deal.
Now, finally, when it all comes to an end, what will be the final score in Cleveland?
I want to pick the Browns because I think they're capable of beating Seattle. I really do. When everything goes well, if they can get on the same page from top to bottom, they're capable of beating the Seattle Seahawks. They are, but they're not playing well as of right now. So with that in mind, and like I said, Russell's at an MVP level right now, I think it'll be a close game, but I think the Seahawks find a way to win somewhere in the neighborhood of 24-21.
24-21. Okay. Kenny Roeder, we're writing that down. Thanks a lot for being on.
It's been fun. Thanks, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That's the code word is field. Go to mynorthwest.com/win. Enter the code word field. And you will be entered into a contest to win 2 tickets of the Seahawks game as they take on the Ravens on October 20th. It's get them on our show. No other show has got the code word field because the next show that comes along, can't remember the name of it, has a different code word.
That's right.
Yeah.
So you want your tickets with the Tom and Curly stamp?
Yeah, that's it. I'm not saying we picked from the top of the pile, but when it comes to winners, when you listen to the number one show here at Cairo, there's some certain bennies that come back to the listeners. You know what I mean? Ning, wing, wing, nudge, nudge, nudge.
That's you don't want to be...
The FCC is going to get mad.
Yeah. That is not true.
No, it's absolutely not true.
Absolutely not.
You just don't want to be associated with some of those other shows.
Right.
I mean, you could be associated with us.
Right. You win the tickets, and then you hey, how'd you win the tickets?
Yeah,
oh, I listened to that other show. You're like, what other show?
Oh,
and then there's this uncomfortable silence. Okay. The MyNorthwest.com/win to enter. Put in the code word FIELD. FIELD. Okay, it's an annual event that takes place, and some people say in a couple years from now they won't even be able to have this event anymore because this job that has become sort of the job that most kids get at some point in their career as they're getting their first couple of jobs is to be a bagger at a grocery store. But now that most of us are either having stuff brought to our house.
Yes.
Or you do it on your own.
Yeah, you check out on your own. Or if you have somebody else checking out, you usually are often bring your own bag.
Yes.
And you tend to bag your own stuff.
But they still have the bagging competition. And Tacoma News Tribune talked to some of the top competitors.
What makes me a good bagger? I don't know. I just pay attention to detail, try to make sure their groceries get home looking as good as they did on the conveyor belt.
I bag how I want my stuff to be bagged, making sure one...
Which makes it very personal, Tom.
It's not too heavy and making sure nothing cross-contaminates. It's kind of like Tetris.
Wow. She's into the cross-contamination thing. That's her thing. Yeah.
You know, you hope that there's not, like in the beauty contest, there's not a question to be judged by your answer because... Oh, I don't know what makes me good.
No. That is the question right off the top that they ask.
What makes me a good
bagger?
It's
not part of the competition. In other words,
it is.
Oh, really? Well, you know, you would know. Mr.
I actually
Hotshot
was
bagger.
The MC at this thing a number of years ago.
Oh, and so you are judged on how you answer the question?
I was not judging. I was MCing. So I would introduce the contestants.
Ah,
they would be asked the question,
so
I think.
So poise.
And then I would.
Public speaking.
Right. And then I would. Then they would then go. And then while they were doing it, I was then doing running commentating. And I was supposed to get the gig again this year.
Yeah.
And it looked like I was, you know, the guy.
You were lined up.
And then all of a sudden
they
went, you know, off the radar. And then I was like, hey, what's the deal? You want me to be there? It was like a couple days ago.
Yeah.
I never heard from him.
Was it something you said?
I think so.
Maybe somebody tuned into the Tom and Girly show.
This show has come back to bite me a couple of times. I said, hey, it's a show.
Yeah, come on.
You say things. You're not held accountable for our opinion. But I think also somebody might have remembered when I did this a couple of years ago, we had the guys there bagging.
Yeah.
And then I took them on, you know, to test my skills.
Oh, yeah.
And I made fun of it. I tore the bread up into pieces and I threw the flour in the air and I smashed the eggs.
You made a mess.
I did. I had no respect for the art.
It was a $395 cleaning bill.
A lot of cross-contamination.
Yeah.
We're good for those folks. And they're not even like teenage kids. They sound like full-grown adults.
Yeah. Henry Johnson won again. He won last year as well.
Sure he won again.
Now he's heading to the San Diego National Championship in February.
That's a dynasty, Tom.
He got $2,000 with it.